You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Glory to God. Wes up there? Could I have my, we're just going to get started. So can I have the 1231 prophecy? See if we can't. It says, I thank you, Father, for the gathering of saints here in heaven. Yay, I feel like I'm in heaven. I meant to say here in heaven. That's what I meant to say. No, I meant to say here on earth. We talked about that. And then remember, not very long ago, it says, looking through to see what is the proclaimed and what the body of Christ will do with a new and fresh anointing. Everybody say new and fresh anointing. So I was leading Wednesday, I was leading prayer today, and that came out again, and he was talking about you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And so are y'all ready for a new and fresh anointing?
Yeah.
How many of you know we already are anointed? But if he's doing something new and fresh, the Bible talks about in Psalms 92, anoint us with fresh oil. All right, let's go on. Let's go down a little bit on that one. What will the body of Christ do with the new and fresh anointing? Let's go down to the bottom part, the very last part. Hopefully we won't cut it off because we don't have time. There we go. We are ready for takeoff. Y'all ready for takeoff?
Yes.
We are ready for takeoff. A walking in the grace, great grace, a grace that stands and a grace that serves. A grace that will cause you to resist your enemy and yet serve my people and the peoples who will yet call upon my name. And so, in case you weren't here, the Lord gave me this prophecy, 12:31-17, and we've just been looking at it and working it, because the Bible says to war good warfare with a prophecy spoken, so we want to know what was said. We're not just going to forget it, because everybody's excited about double jubilee, right?
Amen.
I mean, everybody's talking about double jubilee. Even if you don't know what double jubilee is, you're excited about double jubilee. But that wasn't the whole prophecy. That was two or three words of it, right? And so if we're going to get it, we're going to get all of it. And it says to stand against, to serve inwardly and outwardly, and on purpose you will tap into this grace, and on purpose you will run your race, and it will be the joy and the rejoicing of your soul. And as you find your place in me and you find your destiny, you will be happy and full of joy, and peace and great grace will rest upon you, for the race is at hand. But it's time, take your seat, take your assigned seat, for we are ready for takeoff. And so I also, last week we talked to you about a seat of authority. And so I don't have this in my notes, but I was back in the back getting ready. I came out a little late because the Lord was dealing with me. I want you to turn to the first Psalm, I believe. Let me find it. I should have found it. Because you can sit, there's different kinds of seats in the Bible. Last week we talked about our seat of authority. Are y'all seated in heavenly places?
Yes.
But also Psalms, the first Psalms. It says this: blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. We're praying about this a lot today at noon prayer too. So you can be seated in heavenly places, but the Bible says you can also be seated in the seat of a scornful. What's the seat of a scornful? Someone who's overly critical. Someone who's always got something to say about someone or something. So in a church, what would that look like? That's somebody who always got something to say about how people do things and who people are, and everybody's a hypocrite and nobody's perfect. And a lot of times people do that because they feel inadequate, and so they got to tear everybody else down in order to make themselves feel adequate. But the Bible says that's the seat of a scornful. You can't sit in the seat of the scornful and sit in heavenly places. See, when you begin to be scornful, when you begin to criticize, when you begin to look around. And I'll say this about even things that are going on in our political realm and in our nation. You can't pray for the government. I don't care whether you like President Trump or you don't like President Trump. I don't care if you're crying for President Obama, you wish he was back, or you would like to get it on. You know, let's go to the next one. Let's skip over it. We have who we have, and we're going to pray. And you can't criticize and pray at the same time. If you will pray for him, you'll criticize less. Okay, I'm not political around here. Once you vote, it's over.
Yeah.
Then it's your job as a believer to pray.
Yes.
Period. Mm-hmm. I prayed for every president faithfully, whether I voted for him or not. I'm just as faithful. Someone asked me You know, just because of Lord, help me, Jesus. I mean, it doesn't matter. Someone asked me, about President Obama, because I rarely agreed with anything that he did. Because of my stance on a lot of things, because of what the Bible teaches. But I prayed for him, and I grew to love him and his wife and his children. I prayed for them diligently. And I still pray for him. When he comes across my heart, I still pray for him. You can love somebody without loving what they stand for. So we're not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. Pastor Mark, do you agree with everything? President, you missed the whole point just then. And don't come up and ask me. So you're doing politics. I'm not doing politics. We do not do politics at Cornerstone Word of Life Church. At all. We don't. I do do government. I don't know what is up with me tonight. I do what the Bible says, and I do pray for those who are in authorities, because I want to lead a quiet and peaceable life, and I want people to get born again. So I'm going to do my part so God can do his part. The heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. So I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. You can't sit in the seat of the scornful and sit in the seat of authority at the same time. Choose which seat you're sitting in. Choose your seat. You have an assigned seat, and it's in heaven. Go sit down. You have an assigned seat. It's at a table. In the presence of your enemies, sit down. And so we're not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. We're not going to stand with sinners. We're not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We're not going to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of darkness, one foot in the kingdom of light. Amen? All right, so that's all free. So my sermon tonight, though, is about your assigned seat. We want to talk about, because the prophecy came, and it has a lot to do with Psalms 23, it seems. And then there's a lot of other things in there, and double jubilee and Shabbat Shalom. I didn't know there was a thing called Shabbat Shalom, but there is. And that's cool. I'm glad that there is after I said it. Hallelujah. And what was all that Spanish about tonight? Hallelujah. I know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're about to see an influx of Hispanic people at Cornerstone Word of Life Church. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyways, and so glory to God. So get your Espanol on. Hallelujah. All right. And so just everywhere. Might as well just mess around for the next 15 minutes and then go home. All right. So so we talked about your seat of authority, and then what came to me, and I studied out really good. I really worked hard at it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:10. So there's a grace, he said, to stand. Remember, the Lord told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. What grace is that? That's standing grace. What is that? That's to take authority over the devil. So we talked last week about our seat of authority. Okay? And now there's an assigned seat, and he said at the same time, you're going to have that grace to stand against, but he said also at the same time, you're going to have a serving grace. There's all kinds of grace. There's saving grace. There's standing grace. There's serving grace. There's different attributes. A minister will have grace. So there's all kinds of things that grace brings. It's not just unmerited favor. Grace can be the power of God. Grace is a mantle that comes on you to serve. And so tonight we want to talk about, we're going to get started talking about that serving grace. So 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. Everybody said, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Everything you do in life, not just in church, not just in the body of Christ, but even where you work, you should have a grace on you. You should have a grace on you. You know, you should be operating in that power, that ability, because that's what this is, an ability to do something, ability to serve. You all were created to solve a problem. Doctors solve a problem. Engineers solve a problem. Waiters and waitresses solve a problem. Some people solve problems better than others. And really, that's, you were all created and you have grace to do that in your life. And then I want to look at this. Everybody say it again, I am what I am, by the grace of God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, because I want you to see it's very important to the Lord. Now, this is a familiar scripture to all of you, and we're going to read this out in the New Living Translation, because in the King James, it's kind of hard. But this is where he talks about the different body parts. So 1 Corinthians 12, 14, New Living. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our body parts have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Stop right there. God has put each part just where he wants it. It's not your determination. It's not your decision. It's your discovery to find out what body part you are. Amen. I said it's not your decision. It's your discovery. I've got to find out who I am and who God wants me to be. And so he's using different things like, am I an eye? Am I an ear? Am I a nose? Am I a hand? But he's trying to just get you to see there's many different body parts. So what do those body parts do? They have a function. They have a function. They have a purpose. So you have to discover what is your purpose. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to discover your purpose. But the truth is, everybody's got one. The truth is, everyone is important. The Bible goes on down to say in the King James, it talks about the parts that are hidden. So I do this, and when I do the the membership class, I go through this. And the truth of the matter is, the parts that are less seen, God says he bestows a more abundant honor on. That's what he says in the King James. So in other words, how many of you have ever took out your heart and held it? What about your lungs? No, that'd be gross, right? Aren't you glad God did not make us transparent? I'm so glad. But the truth is, those body parts, you can live without a hand, you can't live without a heart. You can live without an eye, but you need both your lungs, right? And so what he's saying is, sometimes in the body of Christ, if you're not the most seen one, don't be concerned about it. You're still the most important one. In other words, he'll bestow that honor on you based on your function. You know, the truth about the body of Christ, which is a weird thing, everybody seems to always want to be seen. But the truth of the matter is, God bestows honor on those who are not seen. You might be shocked when you get to heaven to find out who's carrying all the rewards away from the throne, from the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, I know Billy Graham's going to get a boatload, but what about the lady who was assigned to pray for him the whole time he was out doing that? I think she might have a boatload plus a boatload. You just don't know. You don't know. Because it's not based on what it looks like here. It's based on obedience to what you were called to do and who you are. So if you're an eye, be the best eye. See everywhere you can see. If you're the ear, make sure you're hearing everything. If you're the foot, make sure you're running. If you're the hand, make sure you're grabbing everything you're supposed to be grabbing. But find out who you are and do you. Find out who you are. You know, the problem with a lot of things, the body of Christ or even the natural, is we look at things and we always want to be somebody else. Have you ever noticed this? Even guys these days. I mean, if you got curly hair, you want straight hair. If you got straight hair, you pay $150 to give it a permanent. I know you do. If you got blue eyes, you want green eyes. So you get contacts that make your eyes look green. If you got white skin, you try to lay out in the sun so you can get dark skin. We'll just leave the rest alone. I'm just saying, everybody is not satisfied with who they are. They want to change them. The Bible deals with it. He said, it is foolish to compare yourselves among yourselves. You can't be me,
and I can't be you.
You shouldn't want to be me because you don't have the grace to be me. And I don't have the grace to be you. But you need to do it. You can reach people that I could never reach. You know, you have to be, so you got to find out who you are, and you got to be happy with who you are. And really the truth of the matter is you may not arrive totally at who you are at the beginning. So you got to be willing to do anything the Lord puts in front of you as you discover who you are. And so this serving grace, because he talked about to us in this year of double jubilee, he talked about a serving grace and a standing grace. Yes, during this time, there are many enemies, and we passed through some enemies. Remember when we walked through that door, if you were here at the saturation meeting, we all walked through a door, and there were enemies at that door, but they're behind us now. And even though he didn't say we got delivered from all our enemies, he just said we're seated above them. I said, we're seated above him. And at the same time, we're standing in that grace and we're seated in heavenly places and we're declaring and decreeing and we're ruling and reigning this life as kings through by one Jesus Christ. But also at the same time, in order for this all to work, we've not only got to be standing in grace, we've got to be serving in grace. So now more than ever, the people here on Wednesday night, the people who are watching, I'm asking you, I want you to lead the way in the church of am I serving? Because I bet if you're here on Wednesday night, I'm sure I have 100% servers in this room. I believe everybody in this room right here, right now, because you're here on Wednesday night and you love the word. So you know that you ought to be serving somewhere in the body of Christ. So I know without asking, I got 100% in this room. And don't tell me any different. And if it's not, you need to fix it. Because you know that that's part of who you are. Because you don't want a dead old lazy eye, do you? You want it to work. You don't want an ear that can't hear just so you can put an earring in it, right? You want it to work. Right? Right? Do you want all your heart to work or just a quarter of it? Because if a quarter of it works, what happens? You're going to be in bed or dead. How many of you want two lungs? So whatever we're supposed to be, we're supposed to be functioning. And so that's not me saying, now come on, y'all, get after it, you know, quit being bad. No, it's me saying, because I look across the room and I know I got 100% participation. Don't tell me any different. And so because you know, as people of the word, that you're supposed to be serving. And listen, if God ever has you in a non-serving time, and you're telling me that I'm not serving because the Lord wants me to just soak the word, then I ought to see you Sunday morning two services. I ought to see you Sunday night in all three Bible Institute classes, even if you're a graduate. I ought to see you every Wednesday night, noon prayer, wherever, healing school. I ought to see you everywhere because you're supposed to be soaked. And you ought not be watching TV and doing all that kind of stuff. You ought not be watching any March Madness right now. All the teams that I like are gone anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So the truth of the matter is, so I should be just receiving. And if that's your assignment, do it with all you got. Because there are times in your life when you might have that assignment, but just do it. And be bold to say, that's my assignment right now, and I'm doing it. Okay? But we're serving. Everybody say serving. Woohoo! Y'all gonna give me another 20 minutes, right? All right, let's go to 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, New Living. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Everybody say, I have a gift. Everybody say, I have a grace. What is he telling you? Use them well. Do what with it? Serve well. Use it well. Do everything you do unto the Lord. Serve one another. Love one another. Now, the truth of the matter is, we concentrate a lot on serving one another in the room. And that's part of it. But the Lord said in that prophetic word to serve not only within, to serve outwardly. I want you all, like me, to begin to look outward at who I can serve. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what it means for everybody. But I want the way, and you're unique. God has given you a realm of influence, a sphere of influence a friend, a relative, an associate, somebody that your kids hang out with, a neighbor, social media, whatever. Remember those Franks that we're making our own. The truth of the matter is that you have someone outwardly, maybe that's backslidden, maybe that is a prodigal ready to come home. And how you serve them with your grace may be the very thing to get them back into the kingdom of God. Don't think all just religious. Think, well, you know, unless I get them to church, they're not going to come back. You might just get them to a connect group. You might take them bowling. You might teach them how, you might get them here to promise them, hey, our connect group, you know, we cook some food and you can eat. Walk a dog, whatever. There's a number of ways. I know even for me, when I was growing up, I was away from the Lord. My best friend, Greg, he would take me every time the Pentecostals were playing football, the Pentecostal girls were making fried chicken. So, you know, best of both. So I would hang out with them because it was fun and it was filling. Hallelujah. It was good. The truth is, there is a number of ways to get people into the body of Christ. And eventually, yes, you want to get them, you want to minister the word to them, you want to get them saved, or, you know, be like the woman at the well, come meet somebody. In other words, come meet Jesus, come to church, get them in the room, let God take care of them. But you have a grace to do that. Come on, everybody say, I have a grace. God has given each of you a gift, a variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Verse 11. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Everybody say, yes, I do. Yes. Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, King James. Having gifts differing according to the grace given us. Okay, now a lot of times people look at this, call this grace gifts, which I do too, but so people pick which one they are, and then some squirrely things have happened from this. I think this is just a partial list to tell you, to show you that everybody has a gift. I don't think, you know, that everybody either has a gift of prophecy or a gift to rule or whatever. So let's look at it. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Verse 7, on ministry, let us wait on ministry, or he that teaches on teaching. On he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. I think it's just a partial list, is my opinion. If you believe it's something else, then that's fine. But I believe it's a partial list showing us that everybody has a grace gift. And whatever your grace gift is, just do it. If it's prophecy, then prophesy a proportion of your faith. If it's giving, just do it with simplicity, not make a big show of it. If, you know, if you're going to rule, do it with diligence. If you're going to teach, you know, teach. If you're going to exhort, exhort. Whatever. If you're going to show mercy, just you know, do it with cheerfulness. So whatever your grace, everybody say, I have a gift. Everybody say, I have a grace. What is that grace? It's a grace to serve, whether it's inwardly or outwardly or both. I prefer both. I think because we're a family, we ought to serve one another, and then we ought to look for ways to serve those that are without or on the outside of the kingdom of God. I think we ought to look for that. And one of the things I'm excited about our new building when it comes out is the Lord has given us things to do to more reach out to this community. We will be a city set on a hill. We will be a bright light. We will be able to reach out to this generation, every generation. We will be able to do it as God blesses us and enables us to do it. So one of the things, just real quick, John 13, before Jesus left, he told us, he gave us an example. And so in John 13, Jesus said this, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then be your Lord and Master and have washed your feet. Remember, he was washing feet was what? Well, back in that day, everybody was barefoot or wore sandals, and there was lots of nastiness in the street. And so washing of feet was something you did when someone came into your house because their feet was dirty, but usually the lowest servant in the room did it. In other words, a very nasty, unclean thing. You know, even still some cultures today, feet are considered very unclean, and you would not wear your shoes in to the place. I know when I go to India, Nepal, when I go there, you know, I've got my socks on and my dress shoes because that's what I'm used to doing, but I got to leave my... I have to think now because sometimes if my wife's not with me, I like to wear wild and crazy socks. And sometimes my wild and crazy socks don't go with what I got on. They're just wild and crazy. And so now my wild and crazy socks are showing to everybody. And sometimes they're too thin for the concrete floors because I got to leave my shoes. That's their culture. Why? Because still the same. Your shoes are dirty. Feet were dirty. So my point is, Jesus did something that no one of his position does. This is a big deal. And he's using it to give an example of how to serve. In other words, you take the lower place. Not going to look at the scripture tonight. I have it in my notes. But remember, the mama came and said, I want my two boys to sit on either side of you. Remember, all the rest of them was like, who they think they are, who she thinks she is. And Jesus said, can you do it? Can you go through what I'm going through? And they said, yes. And he said, so you will. But it's not up to me who my father sits on my left and right. But this is one thing he said. He said, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of God, you got to be a servant. If you want to be greatest in the kingdom of God, you got to serve. You know, people may not understand tongues. People may not understand finances. People may not understand a lot of Bible doctrines. But everybody understands love, and everybody understands you serving and doing it because you care. Not serving just to show you're a Christian, but serving because you really love someone, because you really care about them. You know, everybody understands that. Everybody understands love. Everybody understands when you do something nice for someone, when you go out of your way, and you don't have to do it. I mean, you ought to do it here at church, right? Right? You ought to do it here at church, right? I mean, you know, one of the things you can do is so simple. If you see somebody sitting alone, which doesn't happen a lot on Sunday morning because, you know, it's usually full, you know, or fuller. But if you ever see someone, maybe you ought to get up and go sit by them. Unless they look at you and say, I want to be alone. I mean, you know, or I'm saving three chairs for you know, my husband or whatever. But my point is, there's little things you can do to serve somebody. There's little things you can do to love somebody. There's little things you can do. I mean, everything doesn't have to be a big, grandiose gesture. I don't know why. I always look for this. I see a mom with a baby. I kind of hang back and open doors. I remember when Rhonda had Destiny, and I mean, you know, I don't know. I feel sorry for moms. They turn into pack mules when they have children. I mean, you got three diaper bags, and so, I mean, it's just a lot. I mean, but little things. And even if they don't even notice it or care, you do it unto the Lord. Do everything you do unto the Lord. Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, be a servant. And so one of the things in the prophecy he said is there is a grace, and he said, tap into it. He said, tap into it. So that means it could be here, a spiritual endowment, but we're not tapping into it. So there's a grace right now to tap in, to stand against the wiles of the devil, but not only to do that, to serve. It reminds me of when they rebuilt the wall in the Old Covenant. Remember, they went to rebuild the wall, and the enemy was trying to keep them from building the wall. And so what they did was they had a building tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand. And then people were building and people were watching. And so in the same way, that's what it seems like the Spirit of God is saying is, I've got these two graces that I'm going to amplify in this season of double jubilee. I need you to tap into them. And when you tap into them, you're going to be able to resist the devil from your heavenly seat, but you're also going to take your assigned seat. And when you're in your assigned seat, then that's a seat of serving grace, and it's going to amplify. And the thing about serving grace, it doesn't just stay on you at church. It goes everywhere you go. And it'll make your life a whole lot better if you're in your place functioning in the body part that God gave you. It'll not just affect you here. It'll affect you in your life, because you don't have a sacred and a secular life. You've got one life. Amen. And you're going to do it. Amen. Are we going to do it? I said we're going to do it, right? Hallelujah. Well, let me see if I can close this down a little bit, and then we'll do some more next week. Assigned seat. Assigned seat. So that really means, he said, sit in your assigned seat. So I gave you an illustration last week of my flight to India, you know, and like on an airplane, you know, you have an assigned seat. And really, in the things of the Spirit, it's like that. You have an assigned seat. God has assigned you who you are. When you find that assigned seat, and there's seasonal changes. Sometimes your seat assignment changes. Sometimes you get bumped up to first class. I liked it when that happens, when you get bumped up. But the truth of the matter is, even if you don't get bumped up, whatever your assigned seat is, that's where you got to sit in order to get to your destination. And I sensed this really strong as I was preparing. If you're frustrated, because the Bible talks about how you can frustrate the grace of God. If you're frustrated in your life, one of the places I would check is, am I doing currently what the Lord has assigned me to do? Sometimes in the middle of your frustration, there's a seat change. What do you do with the seat change? Well, you joyfully go sit where they tell you to sit. And you have to move all your stuff, you know, like talking about an airplane still, because that's, remember he said we're ready for takeoff. But we really can't take off and go until everybody's in their assigned seat and buckled in. And yet in the body of Christ, I know we can never, everybody's not ever going to be sitting in their assigned seat, because people are always going to be trying to figure it out. But you have an assigned seat. And if you figure that out, then the better off it's going to be for you and for the body of Christ. Not just Cornerstone, but the body of Christ. When you're functioning in your highest place, it's better for the body of Christ. The body of Christ steps up. When you're in your assigned seat, the body of Christ steps up. And a local church steps up. Because you're important, you have a grace. And when you add, you're adding your supply of the Spirit, which causes us to go to a higher place. And God's got some things, and he's got some things for you, and he's got some things for us as a church. And there's some prodigals that need to come home. And you might not understand how you being in the parking lot will bring a prodigal home, but it could. You could be the right person at the right place at the right time doing the right thing that could cause someone. See, you don't understand being in the parking lot, how you could change someone. We had a lady not very long ago. She goes to church here today because of our parking lot attendance. She said, if everybody in the parking lot's that nice, she said, the whole thing must be good. She made up her mind to come to church here while she was in the parking lot. So don't tell me what you do is not important. Everything you do is important. And so, I don't think I'm called to the parking lot. Well, what are you called to do? You say, you're trying to get the ministry of helps going? I'm always trying to get the ministry of helps going, because everybody needs to be serving somewhere, because that's what we do. I said, that's what we do. But more importantly than that, the Spirit of God's wanting you to experience double jubilee. Now, listen, if you can't function in an area or the Lord has you do, just do whatever the Lord, if he says sit and soak, please. But if he's saying do this, do that, then find out what it is and do it with all your heart. And not just inwardly, but also outwardly. Because there's a grace that the Lord said for us to tap into, that to serve inwardly and outwardly. I mean, I believe God's got some great things for us. Amen. Did y'all have a good time at church tonight? Yeah. Good. See you next time. Hallelujah. Bye.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.